We get to one of my favorite Sundays of the year, something new for us as a church family, and it's about naming the year because we believe that God still speaks. Amen? That God does it in the suddenlies, but sometimes God loves to plan, to prep. He is the God of strategy, the God of foresight, of just saying, hey, I have this plan for your life. I have this plan for your church. And throughout the year, begin to pray in to say, God, what do you have for our church in this coming year? What do you have for our lives, for our community? And so with that, God begins to just sort of unpack and unload a word and sort of a theme for our year, that with a scripture that we can build off of, so we can be all joined together, because as scriptures say, without vision, without purpose, the people perish. And we don't want that. We want to thrive. We want to flourish. And so in a second, I'm going to unpack that. Some already got a head start because you had the notes. We tried to hide them. Some are like, Pastor, the notes didn't go out on Friday. I said, no, I was trying to hide them one last day. But in that, I have a question before we dive in. How many have ever looked at the news, looked at your news feed, maybe you're scrolling along at work on your social media, and said that there's a little bit of chaos in our world? Can any admit that sometimes the news can get overwhelming, can get heavy, can get weighty? Everywhere we look, whether you're inside of the church, outside of the church, there's people looking for answers. Why is this happening? Why is this not happening? Wondering, why is this falling apart? Why is it happening here and not there? Whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our finances, there's so many who are looking for answers. But they're looking for answers in many times the wrong places. But I have some news for you this morning. There is good news. There is actually answers to those questions. That answer and the root of the answer to all of those questions can be found in the person of Jesus. It can be found in the good news. And if you're looking for what the title of our year is, the title of our year is this, as we name the year, is the year of good news. Because I believe that church around a world that is saying, what is happening here, as they're looking for answers, as they're looking for wholeness, as they're looking for life, as they're looking for answers to their relationships, to their finances, to their community, to the political strife, I believe we can find those answers in the good news of the gospel. I believe that as we lean today, if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for where to go, if you're looking for what does it really mean to live a thriving and a healthy and a whole biblical life, I believe we can lean into the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so for our theme this year, it will be the year of the good news. We're going to lean in as we're going to unpack this morning. Our theme verse and our theme portion of text is going to be Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. But for this morning, we're going to look all the way to 21. Because I believe that what Jesus says in these words, as he sort of reads from the scroll, reading Isaiah 61, he shares not only his mission statement and his purpose statement, but he shares good news to all people. And he shares good news to you and to me of what our lives should look like. If you're asking, what should our church look like? What should we do? What should be the driving force of our lives, of our ministries, of all that we're doing in this world? It comes very easily from this text. Easy in reading, but hard in action. So this morning, if you're okay to go on the journey with me, if you're sitting there today saying, I need direction, I need some answers for my life, or not for my life, but for my friend's life, or my family's life, or my coworkers, or my classmates. Let's be reminded today that there is good news, and it starts right here. So let's read from Luke 4, verse 18 to 21 from the New Living Translation, and this is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor, or the year of Jubilee, has come. He has rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them, and he said these scandalous words, "The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day." So I want to give us a little bit of context behind this scripture. If you're taking notes, this first point and this first truth is all about the real news. Because in our world, if you were to look around, how many know that sometimes it's hard to figure out what is the real news? It doesn't matter where you turn. It doesn't matter what side or what viewpoint you have. Everybody's wondering, is the news that I'm hearing actually real? It used to be that you could turn on the news every day and someone would tell you the story. They would tell you a fact, not an opinion. And you found out that it was snowing yesterday. And we'd say, yes, that was true. But we know that many times in our world, whether it's online, they have businesses even just trying to prove if something is real or not. There's sites we have to go to write in stuff that says, is this true? Because our world is filled with fake news. But the good news is real news. The good news is news that we can build our life upon, good news that we can stand on when everything's falling apart. And so in this context, we see Jesus is at the very beginning of his public ministry. He goes into the synagogue and he's in his hometown. And he's in this place and he walks in and he does something normal that wouldn't have been too outlandish, wouldn't have stood out too much. He begins and he begins to read the scripture. He begins to read the scroll. He reads what we just read, but he reads from Isaiah 61. And he reads of the prophet of old, and he reads through this whole thing. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things, to share and proclaim the good news. And he begins to list who he's shared to share those good news to. But then there's a part that's missing. Isaiah continues on, it's the day of the vengeance of our God. But Jesus doesn't highlight that. Jesus doesn't repeat that part. He doesn't read that part. And we're going to see a little bit of that truth later on. But I want you to take note of that. But in Isaiah 61, it's speaking of the promise that is coming. What Isaiah is saying is there's a promise that one day God will send someone to bring restoration. One day someone is going to come that there is good news, but that good news is not fully here yet. One day this promise of this one will come, the Messiah, the sent one, the Savior will come. He will restore. He will recover. He will heal and renew. And they're looking forward to this day. And as they're reading this, I believe just like many times where there's a word of scripture that begins to bring faith and hope to our hearts, it's starting to rise up and they're like, yeah, that's a good word. And yes, we look together like new for a new year. We look together with hope for what can happen. But here is where things get a little bit spicy. Here's where things get a little bit exciting. Because Jesus doesn't stop there. He reads it. He leaves out the vengeance of our God. Rolls it back up, hands it back to the attendant, and he makes these words that changes everything. He said, that has been fulfilled right here in your midst. Mic drop. Because in that moment, he is saying, I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. I am the good news that you have been waiting for. The one who is going to bring sight to the blind. The one who is going to set the captives free. That is I in your midst. He's literally saying that he is the bringer of the good news. The long-awaited one. And the kingdom of God in this moment is not something that is being waited for. It is something that is right now here. If you continue to read on, some are amazed and shocked, many are upset. Because in the time, they're sitting there thinking, well, this must be fake news, but I want to tell you the truth, that the good news is not fake news. There is nothing fake about his news. There is nothing fake about the news that we're going to unpack over this year. As we dive into scripture, that there is good news for your life. There is good news for your family. There is good news for our world. Even in a world that feels like it's overshadowed with darkness and hopelessness, in those moments, that is not the end of the story, because his good news is real news and it's not fake news. I don't know if you believe this morning. Do you believe that? Because good news is good. It's one of those moments, and I believe that was why God was leaning in, is somewhere in our along the line, the church, we have got sucked into believing and forgetting that his news is good news. That when you bring and when you walk and when you live and when you love, you are a carrier, as we're going to see, of his good news. You are not ushering in bad news. You are ushering in the good news of the kingdom of God, his rule and his reign that is here and that is yet to come. That should be upon our lips and upon our lives. Even when everything seems dark and hopeless, we don't have to walk like that because that is not the end of our story. We can put our shoulders back. We can walk with confidence, not conceitedness, but walk with confidence that our God is for us and he is not against us. It changes how we live. It changes how we walk. It changes how we love. We have to realize that the real news, that is good news, is not just a device to improve your life. As we're going to see over this coming year, this isn't about self-help, make a better me. That's not what the gospel's about. The gospel and the good news is die to self and carry his cross. It's like, well, that doesn't sound very good. But in doing that, it brings freedom. This isn't going to be a year of just advice to improve your life. It's not just something you're going to hear or I'm going to hear. This is a proclamation of a new reality that Christ is ushering in. In those moments when Jesus said this, he's not saying that what I'm about to tell you through a scripture is how you can live a better life. Yes, that's true. That's a byproduct. He's telling us, you and me, even today, and the hearers of that day, that there is a new reality. There is a new kingdom that is ruling and reigning that we can live in. That the words that he said, the words that we read are true, and if we believe them as such, we can live in the reality of those words. In Jesus, freedom is announced, healing is released, and God's kingdom is breaking in. And when did Jesus say it was breaking in? Right there today. Right there today. That was the scandalous part. Nobody who was listening was worried about the fact that there was a promise that was coming. They all believed the promise was coming. That was Isaiah 61. They had long been awaiting this. Jesus was saying, that which you were waiting for has arrived. We celebrated that around Christmas, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. But church, guess what? We don't just have to celebrate around Christmas. His kingdom, his rule, and his reign has already begun and is already active and already moving right now. So some of those things that we're going to read about, we should be seeing those happening and active in our lives and through our lives. Right here, right now, in Sudbury, at Glad Tidings Church, in your workplace, in your school, because Jesus has already come and Jesus is coming again. Amen? So it starts to build up inside of us. And I don't know about you, but how many still have some rough days? Yeah, now we're talking. Some of us are like, man, it still snowed yesterday. I like that rain. It was like spring is coming, but it's not. It's not even close. I know that was bad news, but it'll be good. But in those moments, when we look at that text from Luke 4, it reminds us of such truth. There were these will statements. And they were definitive statements. These things will occur. The promise in Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things. And this is what will happen. And this is what will occur. In our lives, when you're having a rough day, when it seems like everything is up against the wall, when you're hopeless and you're wandering through what seems like the dark, groping through the dark, know that his plans will come to pass. His promises will occur. We can stand on his word because his word is not fake. His word is real. His word is true. His word is without error. It will come to pass. There is no doubt about it. So when he says that sight will come to the blind, as we're going to unpack, those things will. Captivity will be set free. Will. Liberty will come. We have to start to live in those truths.
I like that. That's good. It's okay to speak back. It's good news.
So when we come down to this one portion again where I said what Jesus didn't say, He didn't continue on with the year of the vengeance of our God or the day of vengeance of our God. Understand that will occur. That is still a promise. That is still coming. But Jesus did not highlight that because what he wanted to remind you and me and wanted to remind the hearers of that day was that this was a season of mercy. This was a season of grace and his love being poured out, of restoration and recovery. In those moments, he was restoring back to shalom. Remember that word we unpacked when it was peace? He was restoring back to how it was supposed to be. Yes, there will be a day of judgment. Understand, there will be a day of judgment. We are all seeking for, even if we're like, I don't like judgment. Well, the fact is, if you want justice, we need judgment. The injustices of our world, we're seeking justice. Our world is not as it should be or shall be. And one day Jesus will come in his perfect rule and reign once and for all, that his kingdom will display perfect justice. And in that there will be judgment, because you need judgment for justice. But in those moments, Jesus was saying the good news is, although we all deserve judgment, although all of us have sinned and fallen short, although all of us have missed the mark and we deserve hell, he said, oh, but my grace, but my mercy, I've come to overthrow the power of sin and darkness. That's what he was saying to them, and he's reminding you and me. So if that is the truth of this new reality of the kingdom now and the kingdom coming, what does that look like in our second truth? We know it's real news, but now I think we need to unpack the good news. Unpack who it's for and what does it really mean. So our second truth this morning is the good news. Let's unpack a little bit the mission and the purpose statement of Jesus. Because if it mattered to Jesus, it should matter to us. It should matter in how we live our lives, how the church operates, how we minister, how we love, how we live. So in this moment, we see he starts off, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus, fully God, fully man, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's operating through the power of the Holy Spirit, showing us not only for him, but in us, that we need to operate as people of the Spirit. We need to be presence-driven people who, as great as our world is, if his presence isn't there, we would say like Moses did, I'm not going. I'm not doing it if you're not there. Because as great as the things are of this world, as great as popularity and leadership and all those things, as he would say in Exodus, I'm not going if you're not there, God. Is that the cry of our hearts? The desire of our hearts need to be that we would be people of the Spirit, led, directed, empowered by the Spirit. Because everything we do needs to operate out of his strength, not our own. Because how many know when we try doing our own, it doesn't work so well? So we see this truth that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He's come upon him to do the work. He is the unction that allows us to function. And so in that moment we see, and what does the Spirit come upon? The Spirit has anointed him to do good work. In the Old Testament, they would pour out the oil and it would mark them, or it would set apart. It would consecrate them and say they have been set apart for a divine purpose, a divine plan, to go and to do something. It was an outward mark of what was already transpiring on the inside. God the Father had sent the Son to do his plan, to do his work, to work out the plan of the Father. We see that the Spirit had come and enabled him to do what he was called to do. In our lives, we have to be the same, because these truths apply. We need to be people of the Spirit who realize that we are called and anointed to do something. We were never called to just be bumps on a log and sit here every Sunday and say yes or no. We literally were called to get into mission, to go and to do something, to move, that his anointing, his calling is upon our lives. In this place, you have a purpose, you have a calling, divinely given by God, that was given on your life and planned for your life. As Ephesians 4 would say, that there is good works on your life that have been planned for you, uniquely for you, before even the formation of this world. I don't know about you, but that's good news, isn't it? That when everybody says, maybe you don't have a plan or a purpose, or a teacher has said, nothing good will come out of your life, Nothing good will come out of this area of town. Nothing good will come out of that. I want to tell you today that lots good can come out of that. That God has a plan. God has a purpose. He has anointed you. His Spirit is upon you to do something. So what was he called to do? What was he sent to do? I love this truth because it's twofold. So first, if we want to unpack a little bit of the good news, this is the good news. There was about a fivefold damage that sin created. That we realize the truth that all the way back to Genesis 3, sin had entered the world, the fall had occurred. Perfection was no longer happening. We had brought sin in. Sin was the curse. We know that Jesus came to destroy the curse, and that was a part of what he was saying here. We see that to preach the gospel to the poor, sin impoverishes us. Sin steals the flourishing, steals the abundance, steals the inheritance that you and I were created for. We are poor in spirit. Oh, but in those moments, guess what happens? He comes to bring healing to that. He comes to bring fruitfulness. He comes to remind us of the truth that the sin has no grip on your life anymore, because if we would rely on Jesus, if we would turn to Jesus, he brings life, he brings hope, he brings fullness, and no longer are you poor, but you are rich, because everything that is his is now yours, because you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Then he continues on to heal the broken heart. How many know that sin can break hearts? It breaks the heart of the Father, and our actions when we live missing the mark, it breaks one another's hearts. It breaks down relationships. It leaves us broken, looking for answers. Oh, but the good news is Jesus came to heal, to mend, to restore every broken heart, to wipe away every tear, to say, sin, you have no grip. Sin, you have no control over that life. He restores hearts. He brings hearts to come alive, as Ephesians remind us, that the eyes of your heart would come alive and awake to the glorious inheritance of the goodness of our God and what happens in Jesus Christ. In those moments, he is the Messiah, our Savior to the brokenness of our world. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Sin holds us captive. We're tied up in sin. It was the curse. The bondage of sin is death. It brings that upon. But guess what happens when Jesus comes? He came to break every chain. We know this truth, but church, do we really believe this truth? Imagine to those who have been waiting, the promise waiting. Jesus literally, that's why it's so scandalous what he said as he drops the mic. He says, right now, I am the one who is bringing the good news. I am the anointed Messiah who has come to get rid of all of the sin problem, to get rid of the curse that was upon humankind. In those moments, Jesus is restoring and recovering and bringing wholeness to our lives, to our community. Every one of those will statements is about him breaking free and breaking us free from the power of sin and its negative and damaging effects on our lives, on our world. That's why it's good news. Everyone in this place, everyone online, everyone in our community has a sin problem. Oh, but guess what? For every problem, there is a solution, and he is the answer. That's why it's good news. We can't walk with the sin that was blinding us, that was making us poor spirit, that held us captive, that held us oppressed, because sin causes us to do things to bring injustice and oppression to one another. It oppresses us, and because of the sin, because of it acting in our lives and through our lives, we actually bring that on as a byproduct. We do it to others. But Jesus said, I am the good news, the truth, the way, and the light. I've come to bring freedom and wholeness to your life and to the lives of all those around us. That is the good news. But there's even better news. So if you wouldn't mind, say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's even more good news. Say to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, there's even lots of it. Because that's the goodness of our God. that we see this truth. Jesus didn't come only to preach deliverance, even to only bring deliverance. Jesus came to be deliverance to us and for us. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just bring it and drop it off. Jesus and who he is was our deliverance. To the sin problem on our world, Jesus came. He died. The sinless lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the atonement for our sins, so that freedom, liberty could come today and forever. He was our sin, as he knew no sin, so that our sin problem could be covered. That's the truth. That's what we can live in. That's the hope. That's our hope of glory. But the even better is he's not just forgiving us. And that's huge in and of itself. If that was just it, that's more than enough. But if you look at the life of Jesus as we're going to unpack this coming year, Jesus didn't just forgive us of our sin problem. He came and practically and tangibly met and did all of those other things. Where there was someone who was struggling with sickness or needed wholeness in their body, he prayed for the sick and they were made well. When they were struggling with injustices, he came and he brought healthy justice to the situation. When those who were bound in things, bound in addictions, bound in hurt, bound in lust, bound in all those things, he began to speak truth and pray truth and declare truth, and people were set free. In our lives, we need to be people who not only speak the truth, not only know the truth, but that we share it and then we actually become it. So when we see someone hurting or walking through a season of food insecurity, we don't just say, oh, that's a problem. Instead, we say, God, how can you help me? As you show me the problem, how can I be a solution like you are to the problem? In this place, I believe that God is going to begin to rise up people that see problems, and not just see problems, but begin to start getting Holy Spirit divine plans of how we can solve problems. I don't know about you, but I believe that. God doesn't show us the situation so that we can walk away and say, poor you. That's not what Jesus did. Instead, he sits there and says, I've inspired you to actually do these things. Why? Because we're called to be his ambassadors. The even part of the good news is he wants us to partner with him. One of the major themes of Luke and the Gospel of Luke is the truth that he is ushering in the Jubilee, the favor of God upon those places, that he's ushering the kingdom, rule, and reign of God through his life and through his ministry. He's showing that he's overcoming the power of sin and darkness, but he's actually getting his hands dirty. He's getting down on his knees. He's spending time with those who everyone is casting aside and bringing hope and life to the brokenhearted, the blind, the poor, the oppressed. He's meeting and caring for the widow, the persecuted, and the prisoner. Church, he's given us a blueprint for how we're supposed to live our lives. The question becomes, are we? He was the good news. Are we? That's the challenge. That's the call that he's asking of us. That's the challenge and the call that this is a reality. This is real news. That we would lean in and believe it. That the good news was for all people, and that's the great news. No one is excluded from his good news. No one is too rich or too poor. No one has different backgrounds. His news is for all. To meet it spiritually, physically. So he's called us to follow him as his disciples, to do what he did. And now he's sent us, and he's sending us as his apostles to go and proclaim and to do what he has already done. That's what he said and what we speak about all the time we see throughout the New Testament, that he says, come and follow me as my disciples, apprentice under me, but then he says that you are my apostles, you are my sent ones, and what are we sent to do? Those five things. Declare and display the kingdom of our God in everything that we do. Care for the poor. Speak life and declare freedom for the captives. Those who were impoverished, imprisoned, that we would come and help bring liberty. Those who were oppressed, that we would come, we would lift them up and help to lift them through that journey. That's what he's calling you and me to do in everything that we do. We're called to be carriers of his good news. So what does that look like for Glad Tidings Church? That's sort of our scripture. That's sort of our theme. That's giving you an idea of the theological background of where we're going over this next year. It should be where we're going for more years. But it's where we're leaning in intentionally to. But what does it mean for our church? What does it mean for our lives? How can we apply this? And even how are we going to help as leadership to walk into this? The last truth this morning is this: be the good news. Be good news. When you walk into the places of work, when you walk into your school, when you walk into our church, when you walk through the halls of wherever you're going, through the mall, be good news. Be a carrier of this truth. Display it in how you speak and how you act and how you love. The three things that we need to do is this one, and we're going to make room for it. We're going to be hearers, or we're going to experience it. And what that means is through our teaching series, you're going to see even starting next week, we're going to walk through this text throughout the year. You're like, Pastor, how do you make three verses go a whole year? Don't worry, we'll get there. Very first, we know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he's anointed us. So we're going to lean in over the next month or two about who is the Holy Spirit. If we know we need the Holy Spirit, his presence in us, through us, and around us for his glory to empower us to do his service, if we know Jesus says these crazy, scandalous words to his disciples, it's good that I go, why would he say that? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for my life, and what does he mean for my life? What's his calling? What's he doing in us and through us? So we're going to lean in and unpack a little bit of who is the person of the Holy Spirit. Talk a little bit about what does it mean to be called, to be anointed, to be set apart. And then what does it mean as we journey on through to actually live a good life? You know, living the good life, not as we might see on TV, but what does it mean to biblically live the good life in our relationships, in our finances, in our workplaces? What does that look like? So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to believe that we're going to continue to grow starting next month. We're going to, as we're having so many people make new decisions for Jesus Christ, we're going to have a new believers class that for 4 weeks out of the Sunday morning service, so it's not another night out, that for February, all of February, Pastor Jessica, she's going to be running a new believers class. We'll come in for worship, and then those who are like, hey, I have some questions about that, you're going to slide out for 4 weeks, and we're going to walk through that so we can be growing together. We're also believing that there is room and there's areas that we need to be connecting with one another. If you're not with other people, you can't really share that. You can't actually hear the good news. So as you're going to see, there's going to be some connection groups, different ways to be connected as a family and to invite friends and family to come and experience the good news, even just through relationship. Then when it comes to experiencing, because some of us do well by hearing it, but others need to experience it, need to get tangible. And the kingdom of God is not just something that we think about, it's something that we can experience. It's tangible. So starting next week, there's going to be time for prayer at every service. We might not do a formal altar call or ministry time, but every Sunday there's going to be time for personal prayer. Because we believe that prayer is important. Amen, church? We believe that God still moves, God still works, God still heals, God still delivers, God still sets free, God ministers to the broken heart. And so we want to have those opportunities because we don't want not only our generations, but the generations to come to not have had experience with the tangible love of our God. We're going to value that. We're going to make it important because it is important. And so there's going to be opportunities for prayer at every service. Then we're going to have some spiritual emphasis nights, maybe an encounter night where we lean in, even like Pastor Keith did a year ago. We'll have times where we're going to have nights where we just lean in to just be in his presence because we can't do what he's called us to do without him. If we try to do it in our own strength, we can't do it. We need him. It's all about him. So that's from the hear and experience. Then we're going to move on to sharing it. We need to experience and hear it. Then we need to share it. As a church, we're going to lean in some of our prayer times, believing that we will see even a better and greater increase in salvations and baptisms. Last year was awesome. We saw about 80 people make a decision to walk into the waters of baptism. That's exciting, isn't it, church? But we're believing that that's just the beginning. God wants us to expand, to grow, to flourish. We believe that as people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they hear the good news. We want to be a part of it. So what I'm asking you to do, you're like, uh-oh. What I'm asking you to do is starting today, begin to pray and actually ask the Holy Spirit, who am I called to share the good news with this year? Hopefully it's more than one, but at least one. That you would spend time with, you would daily pray for, when opportunities come, you would share the good news, you would invite. Imagine what would happen when our normal crowd is here, the 700 or 800 of us, imagine if each one of us impacted one person. Imagine if each one of us did the Great Commission and led at least one person to Jesus this year. Wouldn't it be awesome that a year from now we'd be sitting here in two services because we wouldn't fit by one person? When was the last time that you shared the good news with anyone? That's the Great Commission. Great commandment is love God, love others. Great commission is make disciples. We need to actually start to live that out. Imagine what it would look like, church. So that's the challenge. We're going to do our part to help along that. Even ways you're like, I don't even like to share it. I'm scared to talk. Even in terms of our media and social media and stuff, we're going to make things that are shareable so that you can share them. If you're like, I don't know how to get to a wider reach, we're going to try to make that so it's shareable, so it's easy to share. And so you're like, I don't know how to start that conversation. Why don't you watch this? We want to do our part to make the gospel accessible so that they can hear it. Sometimes the gospel can be scandalous. Sometimes it can be outrageous. Sometimes it can be controversial. That's okay. We're not changing the gospel. But we want to have an opportunity so that we can share the good news to others. Amen? So that's share it. The last one is be it. Here's the goal before we unpack it. When Glad Tidings Church or any of us call someone, it shows up on caller ID on the phone. Let it be said, oh, I want to grab that phone call instead of like, ghost it. Let it be known of us in our community, in our workplaces, in our schools, even the people who maybe don't even believe in the goodness of Jesus Christ. They would say, you know what? Glad Tidings Church is calling, or someone from Glad Tidings Church is calling. I might not even agree with them, but oh, there's something different when I answer that phone. Let that be said of our lives this year. We're going to need the Holy Spirit to do that in us. But in those moments that they know that we care for them, that we care about them, we care about their journey, we're people who are going to listen and hear. We're going to be people who speak truth. But in that journey, we know that we're going to actually walk with boldness and strength in His power. Amen? So as we're doing that, one of the ways that we want to do that is meet practical needs. Some of that, I won't go into details of how we did it and where we did it, but we already started this. Your deacons and board already started this as well. You're here at the AMM. We were able to go and bless some local community agencies and groups and say, you know what, just before Christmas, say, you know what, we're from Glad Tidings Church. We love you. We bless you. We want to partner with what you're doing. And so some of those agencies and some of those people said, I don't understand it. Why would you be doing this? And we said, because we believe in you. We love you. We're part of the team. We're in your community. We want to actually be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be, His church. Ephesians 5:1 is my life verse, which would be that truth, that we would be imitators of Christ in everything that we do, that we would walk in love like He walks. So this year, we're going to provide opportunities for us, even as a body and individually, that we can serve those who are hurting, walk with those who are brokenhearted, that we can actually tangibly be missional in what we're doing. That we would be on mission, not just in words, not just in sharing it, but we would get our hands and our feet dirty because we would be displaying the kingdom love and kingdom kindness. Amen? So that's almost all of it. Then we still have even one more good news. We go back to the statement that we didn't talk about. The statement about the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Jubilee was a time in Hebrew history that would speak of canceling of debts. That would speak of when things were just broke free, that the debts that were against one would allow people to walk into freedom, to be restored back into where they were. And as we were praying about this and leaning into this, there was one more debt that Glad Tidings Church has. There's one more debt that allows us an opportunity to actually be it. We still have a bit of a mortgage left. And so here, as we started to unpack and pray into it, and we were leaning in, and I was asking questions of Pastor Jessica, who was doing the finances, I said, Pastor Jessica, where do we have left of our mortgage? And through different things, we've realized that we have about $350,000 left on our mortgage. Coming back from millions down to $350,000. Interesting part is, with our plan, with our mortgage, and with our bank, guess how much we can do a one-time lump sum payment? $350,000. And so I started to unpack and do some of the math. That when we were first starting as a church, the Heritage, those who have poured in, those who had made this possible, that we were able to, like on Christmas, we wouldn't have held everybody in one service in this place. In that moment, when someone stepped out in faith and others stepped in and seeded into faith, they started with a monthly payment of over $23,000. Now, monthly, we pay out $13,000 and change every month. Imagine what we could do, ministry and mission. Imagine how we could be it if we didn't have to carry the $13,000 every month. Imagine what mission and what impact we could do every month without that debt. I don't know about you, but I believe that God has big plans for what he wants to do. Sometimes, though, he calls us to step up and to walk into a season of Jubilee. And so the challenge that we're going to put forward as myself and as the deacons is, let's let this be the year that at the end of this year, when 2027 rolls around, that we would be able to declare and celebrate together that the debt is gone. So here are some of the practical steps that we want to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to lean in with faith, believing that as we will have some other things in the new year, but as we move in, as later on to the year, but as we start, just for the basics, you're going to start seeing next week on the screen, there's going to be a picture of the church, and it's going to have sort of, you know, mono. It'll be sort of in black and white. And then as we go, it's going to keep coming back to color. It's going to be in the foyer. And so in your life, what I'm going to ask you to do is pray. Pray if God's stirring in your heart to make a donation, actually to partner in with what God is doing at GTC, to be it in person, to be it in hands and feet, above and beyond our normal tithe. Saying, okay, God, I believe in this. I'm ready to seed into what God has planned. I'm ready to seed into the good news. And that in whether it's on an envelope or online, that you would mark it either mortgage or building or kingdom builders, and all of that would go towards this. That at the end of the year, we would be able to celebrate. And here's the good part. If you're like, 350 seems scary, I think we can do it. But even if it wasn't, if we would pay our normal mortgage payments, monthly payments, all the way down, it would leave us with about $218,000. So if we just do what we've been doing, if we would raise up to $218,000, we would be able to walk away and say, you know what? Oh man, we're the good news we're walking through. How can we bless our community? How many churches in this place believe we can do it? So here's the key. Even outside of that, the last one I'm going to talk about that for now, but it's a part of it. As we get ready to leave here today, my challenge is this. Will you be hearers of the good news? Today, will we experience his good news? And then after we experience his good news, will we be committed from the youngest to oldest to share his good news? And then finally, as we walk out of here, will we be it? That as we walk out, the first person you see when everything inside is like, oh, I'm going to go the other way, will you show the love of Christ? Will you show the compassion of Christ in your workplace, in your school, on the street, at the grocery store, at the gas station? Because church, we got good news, and it's time that we share it. And it's time that we become the good news as we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Church, would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, this morning we thank you so much. Lord, we come with expectation and excitement for what you have in store for our church. Lord, we thank you that you are the good news, Jesus. We thank you that you are the fulfillment of that scripture and that prophecy. Lord, we thank you that you have overcome sin and darkness, that you showed us not only what it meant to live in freedom, but what it meant to truly live and to love others. So, Lord, we thank you for your good news. We thank you for the opportunity to hear and experience it. But, Lord, today we say we want your Spirit afresh on our lives. Come and pour out your Spirit anew, because we need your Spirit upon us, working in us and through us. Because, God, you have called us. So by your Spirit, begin to stir up those callings, those passions and those purposes in this place, that as we leave here, we would go on mission with courage, with faith, with expectation, because we are carriers of your good news. Let us share your good news in our words, and let us be your good news through our hands and through our feet. Let it be said of Glad Tidings Church that we heard it, we shared it, and we became it. Go with us, Holy Spirit, because we need you. Empower us as we leave. Let everything we do and say be for your glory. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we said together, church, amen, amen. Be blessed, and let's walk into a good year.